People, I have a question for you. Do you want to turn your idea into a reality? Can you do it? Yes, you can with Squarespace. How? Well, I'll tell you. Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind. With beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything, you can easily make a beautiful website yourself. But don't take my opinion about it. Let me ask somebody else, like this guy right here. Hey, Paul, what do you think about Squarespace? I simply love it. I have three websites. I actually did paulshear.com, hdtgm.com, and back in the day, crashtest.com, and an Unspooled Pod. Thank you, Paul. That's amazing. Do you like Squarespace? I do. I think it's really good. Well, then head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's show is also brought to you by apples, but not just regular apples. I'm talking about sweet tango apples. Sweet tango apples are delicious. Trust me, I had one right before I recorded this. I was like, how can an apple be this good? I mean, it's got a lively touch of citrus, a little bit of honey and spice. I don't know how they do it. Genetics? Somebody's up there messing around with seeds? I don't know. It's delicious. It's a natural apple. It's delicious. And it's got the crunch that is unmistakable. When bitten, this apple produces a satisfying snap and a burst of sweet tangy juice. See why sweet tango apple fans eagerly wait its return every fall. Find a grocer near you at sweettango.com/bonkers. In 1994, Hollywood decided to tackle the most taboo topic imaginable, sexual harassment of straight white dudes. We saw Disclosure, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discriminate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder how to discriminate. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. It is me, Tall John Shear, and I am here in studio to talk about a very important movie today. The film is Disclosure from 1994, starring two of the biggest stars of the time, Michael Douglas, Demi Moore, and it's a story, like I mentioned, of sexual harassment in the workplace. But in this film, Michael Douglas is the one who is sexually harassed. Oh, and it also has VR. Here to break it all down, my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Listen, Paul, I mean, these straight white men are being victimized all over this movie.
I cannot believe that someone could get out in front of this so bravely.
Yes.
To tell this story.
Someone, you know, and it takes someone like Michael Douglas to really make us feel for this guy. Oh, boy.
I like it because he's relatable right out of the gate. He's from being super rich to almost a millionaire.
Yes. And he's a guy that doesn't think a blowjob is sex.
Oh, there's so much to talk about. And we actually have a really fun way to tie this episode into a larger thing. We have two guests today. Our first guest, you know her as a writer for Big Mouth. She's also a writer for The President Show, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Inside Amy Schumer. A first timer here, please welcome Emily Altman.
Hi.
Hi, Emily.
Welcome, Emily, to your nightmare.
Oh, God.
This movie, we have a reason why you are here, and we have a reason why our other guests are here. We'll get into it both, but I wanted to introduce you and welcome you to the show. But have you ever seen Disclosure before you started to get involved in it?
I hadn't seen it. It remains in my mind. I think I was like in eighth or ninth grade when it came out, and I remember guys talking about the sex scene.
Oh, funny.
I do very much remember like how hot Demi Moore was at the time.
Yes.
And it was mostly about the sex scene.
I mean, that sex scene is a real moment in this film. Mm-hmm.
It's also an era where everything took place in something semi under construction.
Yes, like a lot of industrial design.
Everything is clear tarps are hung everywhere.
You've already heard him a little bit on mic. He is how did this get made? All-star, one of our favorite guests. You know him from, of course, Big Mouth and The League and The Kroll Show. Please welcome Nick Kroll.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys.
Nick, so excited to have you on this show. And why you're here for this episode is kind of...
You asked us. You asked us if you could come on and talk about this movie in particular. Why did you do this to us? This is 2 hours and 10 minutes of a movie that you made us watch.
Well, okay. This was the favor I was calling in. I believe I was the first guest on the first episode of How Did This Get Made?
You were.
Shout out to Burlesque. Shout out to Cher. Shout out to
Christina
Aguilera.
Yep.
I've also flown to Austin to be on the show.
Yes.
Just to hang out with you guys in Austin.
Yep. Look, it's been, you are a How Did This Get Made all-star. You are part of the How Did This Get Made family.
Thank you. And because that, sometimes family asks for some favors.
Yeah.
Just like in the Fast and Furious movie. It's all about family.
It's all about the family.
The only favor I want is to find out who does Vin Diesel's milk voice. He always sounds like he's drank a big glass.
It's all buttermilk.
Yeah,
I asked. He's got a buttermilk budget that is in the millions.
You know why? Because those takes are so hot.
Yeah.
That he's got to drink buttermilk to come up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, Vin. Everything curdled.
I'll drink it anyway.
It's all about family.
So I asked for you guys to do the movie disclosure because on season 3 of Big Mouth, we have an episode where the kids put on a musical, and the musical that they are putting on is a musical based on the movie Disclosure.
I love this.
So it's Emily Altman co-wrote the episode with Victor Kinoj.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done on the show. And it felt like it would be a perfect thing to come in here, talk about the movie in general, so that when people watch Big Mouth and they watch that episode, they'll have all of this extra information and be able to understand what we were doing and why we chose to fucking make a musical out of the movie Disclosure.
Well, between this episode of Big Mouth and this episode of How Did This Get Made, there's going to be so much rewatching of Disclosure that it might get enough heat to get a sequel.
Or a reboot, guys. A reboot.
Reboot.
We need a reboot of Disclosure.
Disclosure.
But I will say
Disclosure.
I will say that we are on a show where so many people come up to us and say, you got to do this movie on the podcast. You got to do this movie. And when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great because it seems so locked in amber. It's like of the time. And it's a perfect choice for this show. Like,
yes.
I'm surprised
we would do this movie even if you hadn't requested it. Yeah. This is a movie we would do.
It's a real clean How Did This Get Made?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, this is... All right, so what I love about this movie...
it's got virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
CD-ROMs.
It's mostly CD-ROMs. Most of the movie is CD-ROMs.
Oddly, let's get into the technology here because the technology is he's in charge of like releasing CD-ROM, like, you know,
manufacturing CD-ROM players.
But also on the VR team.
And the VR that they're creating is like a virtual reality filing cabinet.
Yes.
Yes.
Like the corridor, the thing they've created that makes their company worth billions. Like Donald Sutherland is going to be worth $100 million or something. Is all it is you put VR glasses on, you're in a hallway, and you can open filing cabinets and see what's inside.
And see what's in your filing cabinets. And when they actually go in, when you have that like that big money shot at the end, when you're in there and it's like ILM. It's so boring.
Yeah.
And they're all going up there to like, let's experiencing it. They talk about it like, check out the VR world. There's nothing interesting, nothing fun. It's not even like a filing cabinet on the beach. It's in like an old bank building.
Yeah, like this is in that era of that Aerosmith video. Remember the VR video
with Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone. Oh, yeah. A quick Alicia Silverstone anecdote. I feel like this might be the place to tell it.
Go ahead.
I saw her at a party, and she was like, "I haven't seen you since I was at your house," and I was like, "Alicia." I was like, "You've never been to my house." And she was like, "Yes, I have. I was at your house." I was like, "No, I know where I've met you." And it was not at, and she was, it goes on like this for a little while. And then she's like, "Oh my God, you're not who I thought you were. You're someone else. I know you're Nick Kroll. And I was like, I am. And she's like, oh, I shouldn't. I don't even. I was like, Alicia, now you have to tell me who you think I was. She goes, I thought you were Chris Kattan. Slight diversion. However,
very worthwhile.
So, but it's like it was that Aerosmith video where the guy puts on the virtual reality helmet and like he's now on a motorbike with Alicia Silverstone, and it's like, yeah, that's virtual reality, right?
Right. Well, that was the dream. The idea is that virtual reality is an escape from reality, and you get to interact in a really crazy space.
Things you'd never do in real life. This was imagine
the avatar. Like, was your own face. You didn't even get to escape your own body. You got to be it. And I thought this, I pulled this one clip from how Demi Moore speaks about what the internet and virtual reality would be. And I just thought it was so funny because it's so wrong.
What we're selling is freedom. We offer through technology what religion and revolution have promised but never delivered.
Oh.
Freedom from the physical body. Freedom from race and gender. From nationality and personality, from place and time. Communicating by cellular phone and handheld computer, PDA, and built-in fax modem, we can relate to each other as pure consciousness.
The exact not thing that has happened.
That's
I would
awesome.
Say it's made us a more segmented, angry community.
A place where all of those things she said, race and gender matter the most.
Yeah.
And a way to like protect our anonymity while we attack those. It's like a system for trolls.
I mean, but it's also funny that just quickly, a shout out to the Ennio Morricone music playing in the background there.
So
by
good.
The way, he does the music.
This is a Barry Levinson movie. This is like a you know, a lot of times on the show we're covering movies that are B movies or C or D movies, even, you know, like really low budget whatever. And then we've got, you know, your big Fast and Furious movies, but this movie at the time is a massive. These are the biggest stars of the time. This is one of the biggest directors of the time. This was like when adult movies like this were kings.
Michael Crichton, who has at this point ER has created ER,
Jurassic Park created Jurassic Park.
He sold the movie rights for $1 million before the novel was even published.
Right. Wow. He like it was like day after the Anita Hill hearings start. He's like, I got an idea.
And then a couple of
his whole pitch was just a Coke can, and he starts.
By the way, there's a weird close-up on a Coke can in the there's a vending machine thing, and I was like, this is like,
interesting.
They're not.
Wow. By the way, Miloš Forman was the original director, but left due to creative differences with Michael Crichton, and Barry Levinson came in, and took over. Which is interesting. I wonder which way Miloš Forman wanted to push it. Like, what did Crichton react to?
Crichton's like, it's a virtual file cabinet or I walk.
Miloš Forman's like, maybe it could be something more interesting, more exciting to look at when you're in the virtual world. No, I want to open drawers that say finances.
I mean, but again, this movie had a budget of $55 million. It made a gross of $83 million. A huge hit. You know, it's a big movie.
That is crazy that this movie cost $55 million, and is it all for it's all for glass walls and glass offices?
Oh, yes. I love tech companies in films like this. Like tech companies look so sexy. It's like the CSI. It's like CSI on TV. It's like everything is glass. They have these big conferences, and people could see people yelling through the glass. Like his wife, Michael Douglas, and his wife get into a fight in a glass room outside the mediation room. Everyone can see that.
Yeah,
everyone can see. But like there are at least four plot points in this movie that hinge on someone being able to hear or see
through glass.
like Michael Douglas basically is able to discern the whole fourth act really plot twist by simply walking by Demi Moore's office and eavesdropping on her while she's on a treadmill.
By the way, it wasn't even her office. I think that was just a gym that also happened to be in the tech company.
Oh, I thought put that stuff in her office.
Okay, everything the gym looks like an office there. Everything does.
Everything's an office. That's very true.
Sorry, before we go forward.
Is that one of the songs in this show? Big Mouth,
everything's in office.
Office.
No, but it should have been. That. Just a quick question before we move further: is it Demi Moore or Demi Moore?
I've heard it is Demi.
I think she. I think it was originally Demi. Like I feel like in the 80s it was Demi, and then she shifted to Demi.
It's more demure.
I'm wondering if Demi Lovato.
Mm-hmm. Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
I believe her name is short for the Greek name Demetra. And I wonder if Demi Moore is the same, in which I think it would be Demi, not Demi.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, as always, Demi Moore is basing everything off of Greek mythology.
Well, I'm wondering if her name is also Demetra.
Oh, I wonder. Are you now trying to figure out if Demi Moore is maybe Greek?
Is half Greek. I'm just now, but no, my dad would have told me because he's got a, he can readily call up any celebrity who's Greek and be like, well, you know, Tina Fey is Greek. You should talk to Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Well, this movie, again, like we kind of touched on it, it revolves around Michael Douglas getting a new boss who happens to be his old ex-girlfriend who they had a very sexual relationship
with. My favorite thing in this movie is that he is the head of like production, and it is a movie in which I feel like Michael Douglas is like, no, let me be very clear. I'm a guy. I'm the head of manufacturing and production of this like this hardware unit for a computer thing, but I need everybody to recognize that I'm one of the biggest playboys that has ever existed in tech. Like, everybody's like, oh, this guy used to get all the pussy.
I mean, they literally, his wife is like, you fucked so many women.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Well, the story is always about how prolific he was.
He gets more ass than a rental car.
Yes.
That's what Dennis Miller says.
Oh, by the way, Dennis Miller is...
Wow.
I mean, Dennis Miller, first of all, Michael Crichton wrote the character for Dennis Miller, which just shows you where we're living.
Yeah.
There's so many great Dennis Miller,
Millerisms
throughout the whole thing. Again, and am I buying it's like Michael Douglas and Dennis Miller are tech guys, and then this guy who's like Cato Kaelin, who, you know, he's like
Cato Kaelin. So along those lines, I think when we were deciding to do this for the show, we were describing this movie as in the Michael Douglas's period of filmmaking when he was too sexy for his own good.
Yes,
where it's the third in the triptych of Basic Instinct.
Fatal Attraction.
Yes. And then Disclosure was kind of like the one that slightly missed the mark.
Right, yeah. Slightly. But it's like, it still is a movie that's kind of burned into your mind as like a big film.
And
like,
a hit.
And a hit.
It was not a failure at all.
And Michael Douglas was, in all of these movies, these women are going crazy because they want to fuck him so bad.
That they'll blow up their whole lives for it.
Yes.
They will literally blow up their whole lives just to get a taste of that D.
And by the way, I will say the one thing that really bothered me, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but like obviously he's sexually harassed. But never at one point does he like apologize to his wife, to have any guilt, have anything about him where he's like, we'll get into that scene, but he is bulletproof. He seems to be unfazed by anything but losing $1 million.
Yeah.
Like
that's being less rich.
Yeah,
and it's in the screenplay at the beginning where she clarifies his wife is like, but we're already rich. We just want to be clear before the movie unfolds. We are very rich.
You so see where they live. Like, they live in a beautiful house, like a giant house on a lake. Gorgeous.
Oh, they drive Pacific a Northwest. Jeep Grand Wagoneer, which is like one of my all-time favorite cars.
Yeah, you wanted that car.
I love that car. But my thing was, there's the scene where, just to jump back to Dennis Miller, they go to dinner with Dennis Miller and his wife and Michael Douglas and his wife. And this is kind of near the beginning of the second act or whatever, when Michael Douglas is starting to kind of go down the road of maybe he can claim sexual harassment and that will help him kind of get out from under where he is. But he hasn't told his wife. He's not blah, blah, blah. And so Dennis Miller is given the information and outs him at dinner. Mm-hmm. And then it's a big dust up. And then they go, why don't we sit and have a nice dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just sit and have a nice dinner after Dennis Miller has just revealed that Michael Douglas cheated on his wife with his ex-girlfriend.
To his wife.
The wife digests so so much information and effortlessly is like, oh no, he told me everything. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Lying for him.
And then they cut to the outside afterwards. And she's like, please just tell me, did you sleep with her? Like, she seems like destroyed, you know, in a way that you're like, and he like continues to lie. Like, he is the protagonist of this movie and is just a piece of shit.
I mean, his wife goes through so much. The fact that she's like sitting behind him in that mediation too.
Why is she sitting in the mediation?
Because he was going to go without a lawyer. Or no. That wasn't it. He had the woman that he'd hired. But why was she good?
Standing by him?
Maybe she thought the optics would look good.
But then it's like he lies to her. He lies to her in that first scene where she put her hand on my penis. Yes. And then they get into the hole. Yeah. She stuffed her middle finger deep into the hole.
She reached her middle finger into my urethra.
All the way into my bladder.
That hurt, Paul? Are you feeling that?
Ooh, she milked my bladder from inside my peel.
She took her nail and dug right into my urethra.
I mean, this.
And there was an M&M in there.
Yeah.
And Dennis Miller, by the way, just to hit one more thing with him too, is like supposedly like the voice of, like, not the voice of reason, but the guy who's like, I'm saying it as it is.
I think he's like the every dude. Yeah. Like, Come on. You don't have a boner?
He's like, you know, she doesn't give you a boner.
You don't achieve lift up.
You got to use a Mack truck, you know, Series 5 to understand how to lift that thing out.
Cha-cha.
Yeah.
This is where he gets in trouble here. This comes back to haunt Michael Douglas, this interaction.
And come on, you have a sexual urge every 20 minutes. It's a physiological certainty. You know, it's hardwired into your limbic brain. You can't fight it. Why would you want to fight it? Live a little. I mean, 10 years from now, you're going to need a forklift to get a hard-on, pal. I'm going to call you tonight.
10 years from now?
So it's but
ten
it,
years
you know
now
what
you're 40.
And also, how does a forklift help?
Yeah,
you know, like exactly.
Lift up those balls.
Like, what does it do? Like, a forklift doesn't get it.
Balls.
Yeah. But it's so funny. This is also Michael Crichton. It's like that. It's like when Sorkin wrote Studio 60. It's like writers who want to write stand-up.
Oh, yes, comedy. Yeah.
And they're I'm going to write Dennis Miller material.
Quips. I'm going to write what it must be like to be around one of these guys.
And I will say, though, to Crichton's credit, it ages great.
It does.
It still has that kind of bite in that.
But it is, like, I have to say inside of it, like, Dennis Miller is, like, it's fun. I do like hearing Miller's voice in there. Like, he's fun in that role of, like, come on, you know.
Well, he's got a real, unlike Cato Kaelin in the movie, he has, like, a point of view. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, something, an engine driving him that's fun to watch enough. The way that I also find Donald Sutherland just captivating to watch.
Me too. His massive teeth.
They are. I think they're getting bigger.
They are.
Donald Sutherland says something in the beginning, and I loved his choice, which was he talks about the death of his daughter, but he glosses over it so quick. He's like, when my daughter died, I was not even like a mic. He's like speaking to so many people. Like, there's no like emotion.
No reference to it after that. But I will say a couple things. One, Donald Sutherland is doing almost a like New York accent. Like, he pops in and out of like, I think Donald Sutherland was like, I'd like to do a fun sort of, he's a tough New York guy. And they were like, okay. And then he's like, forget it. After like three seasons, he's like, I'm not doing that.
I didn't say that.
The other thing is with Dennis Miller and Michael Douglas is this is prime mullet. Prime 90s mullet.
Yes.
The
and
hair
not,
is
not
gorgeous.
Trashy mullet. Not
no.
like
no.
Well, not,
hair,
yes,
just
like,
full hair.
But like long in the back, but like coiffed up top.
Yeah.
And I will say, this is the time where I realized also 90s clothes are disgusting.
Oh, like, so loose on the body.
Raping.
She talks about his body at one point. She's like, you're still so hard. Your body's still so tight. And it's like, you can't tell.
Ooh, by the way, this is the way you fill out all those pleats and those slacks.
I know.
I really do feel like, you know, it's been in the news recently, like the Fast and Furious guys had like this thing about who can take a punch. I feel like here Michael Douglas is like, you gotta make her talk a little bit more about my rock hard body.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like it's overkill. It's it's like, what are you who are you convincing? Like
everybody else, and everybody, all of the women in the movie are wearing like just like clothes on top of clothes on top of other clothes. It looks like they are just draped in fabric.
It's loose fabric.
Yeah, it is so blousy and flowy. Everything. It's hilarious to see everybody in the workplace is just like a whole barrage of nonsense clothes. Every time there's a meeting.
Well, he's also, Michael Douglas he's a backpack guy, which I love that as a character.
Saw that backpack guy.
Yeah. He's on a backpack. He's taking the ferry. Taking a couple.
I feel like style-wise, though, like another thing that we can address at some point is the Pacific Northwest.
How
much and how 90s that also is.
It's in that sleepless Seattle period.
Yeah, but also grunge.
Yeah. I was surprised there wasn't more of a wink to that there was, like, that's how much this movie exists in a time when adult movies mattered, is it makes no effort to, like, reach out to younger people by acknowledging that at this time, in Seattle is like the most vibrant music scene in America.
But
you're right.
I feel like now they would try and use like, go to see some band.
Yeah,
or
Cato Kaelin would be like,
wearing a Nirvana shirt.
Come see my band tonight.
No, they didn't even give a shit.
Maybe they were trying to make him look like Kurt Cobain?
Yeah, that's probably true. Because he's
like that long blondie hair.
Yeah.
I think what I was really taking in was how warped I was by movies like this as a child, because this is what you would see, like Basic Instinct and stuff like this. Like, these are the films of my youth that were like cool.
Kids watched adult films.
Yes.
Right. Because they were always playing on cable. Like, movies like this were always playing on the HBOs and the, you know, whatever.
Richard Gere and Kim Basinger.
It's like
this intense thing. Even like Alec Baldwin made that movie, like The Getaway with Kim Basinger.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like he showed his dick and she was totally naked. It was like on the unrated version of The Getaway. I remember getting it at Blockbuster and being so excited.
Whoa. The Ally McGraw, by the way, just to sidetrack, the Ally McGraw Steve McQueen version of The Getaway is one of the greatest movies.
Really?
Yeah.
It called The Getaway?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
The movie, you know, it takes place in a week. So we're Monday through Friday.
Yeah, by the way.
They used the like Shining Monday starts and lives up to the promise. Of
really, so much happens in 5 days. And they make such a big deal of like, this is going to wreck your life and you're going to spend so much money. No. Just if you can spend 5 days dealing with a sexual harassment case.
And honestly, at the end of it, this is a legal case that would take months, if not years, to work itself through.
Arbitration.
But I love mediation. That at the end of the movie, it should have just been like somebody says to Michael Douglas, how you doing? And he's like, tough week.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's how insane. It's only been 1 week of his life.
Well, is this a fair time to just bring up what the plot of this movie is?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing is like, I don't know how I would explain, like, if you talk about the movie, you're like, oh, it's the movie where Demi Moore sexually harasses Michael Douglas and then accuses him of sexual harassment, right?
Right.
But the actual plot of the movie is that Donald Sutherland is trying to sell or merge his company to make $100 million.
In 1994
is a lot of money.
Which is a lot of money, but still, yes, it is crazy.
But like now $100 million for a tech company is like what, like,
oh yeah,
maybe he was loofah would make, like a company that just sells like loofahs, delivers you loofahs.
By the way, that's a great, I get my box every month, brand new loofahs.
Should say, this episode of How Did This Get Made is brought to you by Loofer. Loofer Rigno's Loofah Company.
Scrub off some savings at 15% when you use the offer code BONKERS at Loofer.
Yeah. Loofer by Loofer Igno.
This is Idris Elba. I'm Loofer. For Loofer.
I scrub the streets of London clean, and now I want to scrub your body clean.
You've got dead skin all over your body.
Yeah, I've found dead bodies all over London.
Oh, I hate these jams!
Oh, boy. So, anyway, that loofer would have $100 million merger, right?
But maybe he's excited because he has $100 million for a company that's just a virtual filing cabinet.
Yes,
we've pulled the biggest wool over everyone's
eyes. Can I ask a question? Is the sexual harassment, the initial sexual harassment...
This is my question.
...a setup itself?
That's what
When Demi Moore calls him up to the office for wine to discuss, is that a trap? Or
no,
is
that...
No,
I don't think so. Because I think we're supposed to believe that he is that sexually attractive.
Okay.
I don't think she's putting... I think it's like she is so moved by how hot he is that she has to do
But don't you think... I thought... I read it slightly differently. I think that she was like going, hey... We used to fuck. He'll want to do it again. Let's just go and we'll just have our thing. Like it will
be. Yeah, we'll have our normal affairs.
Yeah, while I got his promotion.
Yeah,
right. I got your promotion, but we can still hook up, right?
And like then, the old days when we watched and then pornography and did sodomy together.
Oh my god! Sometimes we just watch TV. Yeah, but I mean, but that's what I like. And so I think what is even weirder about this too is like, so she's spurned because he doesn't want to have sex with her, and then she's like, "I'm going to take you down."
Yeah.
And oddly, the whole company is against him.
But that's the thing is like she's. He spurns her, right? She's like, I'm going to take you down. But they were always trying to take him down. He was always supposed to be the scapegoat for why the technology wasn't working. Yeah.
Was the sexual harassment not the first attempt to get him out? It was just a complication to their long game of trying to get him out. Is that right?
No,
yes. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's different, but I thought they were using that to be like, we'll get him out this way because he was already pushed down to the lower tier.
What I believe after spending like literally hours trying to understand this and talking about it with my girlfriend was like, can you explain to me what this is about?
Yeah.
Here's what I believe they were trying to accomplish.
Your date must be so fun.
Is that
you just like furiously diagramming on the table? Then she says,
right. So Demi, and it's Demi. Okay. she's Greek, we think. So I believe what happens is that they are trying to get this merger done, but the technology and the manufacturing on these new CD-ROMs, which are a big part of this whole virtual reality deal or whatever, unclear.
They need these CD-ROM drives, not even the CDs.
They need these CD-ROM drives for this virtual reality, which is the cornerstone of why this merger is happening. They are behind about a year on production.
Right.
So they need a scapegoat. If this comes out, they need a scapegoat to bury the problem on, and they're choosing Michael Douglas as the scapegoat so that if it all ever comes up, they'll be able to fire him and be like, we fired the problem now. But even then, it still
doesn't. But the reason
they would still be behind. They can't say
the reason they're behind what we find out.
You're
at
right,
the end,
though, I think.
I think, I think so far everybody is right. That's the thing is all of these things are in play, and that's what's kind of difficult to kind of figure out because there's. Multiple people have multiple levels of secret plans, you know, because what we then find out at the end is that it was Demi Moore's character who made the changes to the manufacturing line of the CD-ROM drives that have necessitated that Michael Douglas is now a year behind schedule.
But why did she do that? She just wanted to set the company back?
Cost cutting? To get them maybe ready for the merger quicker?
Yes.
I mean, is my guess is that they had a clock and they couldn't wait.
Anytime you're rolling in Malaysian news footage to your big reveal at the end, like, this is amazing.
And also just like being like.
And he has all that overnight. He's able to overnight build an incredible case against Demi Moore.
All because this is a guy who's always helping out the little guy. His wife says it and she's like, oh, you don't you.
You're the only one. Yeah.
You're the only one who helps everybody or something.
Yeah.
And then like his big help
except
is.
Except her.
The Disneyland tickets.
Yes.
He goes, big old those Disneyland tickets.
He writes, all the rides are comped.
At one point, you're not going to have to pay for a seat. Once you get in there, go on any ride you
can ride it as many times. Don't worry, all the rides are comped. When he said that, it spoke to me that no one has been to Disneyland there. No one understood the concept.
It's not hard to get tickets. It's not like a concert.
No.
You have to like get scalped tickets
all your
to
rides
Disneyland.
Are comped.
And is
maybe
it just is that just to save the cat thing of like he's a good guy? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And why the guy helps him, right?
Right, like, exactly. He's from Malaysia.
The transaction is the same. The guy he got the Disney tickets for is the guy who faxes him all the incriminating information.
His name is maybe Jafar?
Yes, Jafar. Yes.
This is post, yeah. And this is post Aladdin, or is this pre?
It's a nod to Aladdin, and
is it right?
Aladdin, terrible nod to Aladdin.
Yeah. Well, because Jafar wants to go to Disney World. He's not allowed in.
He's not allowed in.
He's a villain.
Well, he can afford some of the rides. He can't afford all. Of
you know, Michael Crichton's just like with his kids are watching Aladdin in the background. He's like, Jafar, great, got it. Okay, clickety clackety, clickety clackety.
Aladdin came out in 92, so yeah, it is. It is.
We're living in a post Aladdin world.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead,
please.
Please. Look, what I'm saying is I don't want to be stressed out by this. I might just take a Prozac.
Oh, so 90s, every little piece.
I know, and if, like, it's just like, oh, you want a, like, I'm stressed out. Oh, you want a Prozac? It's like, this is not an Advil. Like,
no.
Prozac
works cumulatively over time. You have to take something like Prozac for a long time for it to get into you. You don't just, like, casually pop a Prozac.
But this movie speaks of all these things as if they were all in the media. They're like, Prozac, VR, sexual harassment. It's like, it's just thrown in terms. It's it's like a weird random like timeline of what 90s.
Time capsule.
Yeah, time capsule.
Everything in there is present from the 90s. Everything is there.
Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to hear a few words from our sponsors. And you know who my favorite sponsor is? Us. That's right, the show. We have amazing shirts available right now at tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm. All of the shirts that we have made on the road, and we have made a special shirt for every single show, and they are amazing. Check it out. They are pretty much always on sale. So head on over to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm, and let me now bring it down to tell you something important. Did you know, on average, a burglary happens every 23 seconds in the U.S.? Bam! That's right. 1 in 5 homes have security. That's it. 1 in 5. And you know why? Because companies don't make it easy to secure your stuff. Oh, it's contracts. Oh, we have to have someone come out. And the windows are so long. And how expensive. Come on. We don't have time. We need to make ours simple, and we need to make it safe. And that's where Simply Safe comes in. Simply Safe makes it easy on you. No contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. It's all regular sized print. It protects every door, window, and room with 24/7 professional monitoring just for $15 a month. $15 a month. It's won tons of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. One thing that truly makes Simply Safe stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, police often assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list. But not with Simply Safe. No. Using their video verification technology, they can visually confirm that the break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster. That's 3.5 times faster than anyone else. Simply Safe is great because right out of the box, you can get it set up, you can start to feel secure, you can start to feel like you actually are protecting yourself and you're not just giving it over to somebody else to do, okay? Visit simplysafe.com/bonkers and you'll get a free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial to check it out. You've got nothing to lose. Like I said, it's simple, it's safe. Now, be sure to go to simplysafe.com/bonkers so they know that our show sent you. That's the most important part of these ads, is that you go using our thing. simplysafe.com/bonkers. That's simplisafe.com/bonkers. People, is there something interfering with your happiness? Or maybe it's just preventing you from achieving your goals. Well, let me tell you, BetterHelp Online Counseling can help, okay? This is where a licensed professional counselor who are specialized in issues such as depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, and more are there for you. They're a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, and you get help at your own time and at your own pace. Anything you share is completely confidential, and it's so convenient. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions as well as chat and text with your therapist when it is good for you. And if for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time. And best of all, it's an affordable option. People, We talk about wanting to be in therapy, wanting to better ourselves, but where is the time? Where is the person we can actually trust? Who do you get a recommendation from? All these obstacles are there, but now BetterHelp is taking them all away, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code BONKERS. Now, don't let that code Bonkers for mental health confuse you. Okay, we're not saying that you're crazy. We're just saying that that's something from our show. So why not get started today at BetterHelp.com/bonkers/bonkers. Fill out a questionnaire and help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you will love. That's BetterHelp.com/bonkers. So when he goes into this office to meet her and they have their first meeting, she requests a back rub, which she does. I mean, this is so, it's so funny because they don't try to change it in any way. They just basically go, here are the details of how, or the tropes of men sexually harassing women. We'll just have her do the exact same thing. Like, ooh, give me a back rub. Mm-hmm. And so funny. And the secretary walks in.
Yeah. Secretary, totally indifferent. By the way,
I have a question about that. Yes. So the secretary locks the
Yes.
Why? So the secretary, was she She's in on it as well?
This is before they could install
this
Matt Lauer button that automatically locks the door. Secretary had to lock the door.
That was so odd, though, because she would have to say, like, hey,
I'm going to sexually harass someone in here. So.
Also, here is my question is, Demi Moore has been not, like, this is the first he's seen, this is the first Michael Douglas has seen of her. She's got a fully, not a fully furnished office yet.
Mm. No, it's under construction.
Right.
So, but it's pretty done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has flown her secretary up with her to, like, I was sort of like, so the secretary is with her in California. They've flown up that day.
Yes.
The office is basically done.
Up and running.
And he didn't ever see it.
He had no idea that this was not going to be, this was supposed to be his job.
They treat it like the office is being decorated like a surprise party. Like, well, I know they're decorating that office, but it's going to be mine. Like, no, she's fully in there.
The choices have been made.
Yeah, like, he would have been able to look and be like, oh, that's not my stuff.
So I didn't pick that thing. She, Donald Sutherland, the guy from Happiness, Dylan Baker.
Oh, Dylan Baker, so
he's one of the great weasels of our time.
Yeah, yes. They're all so excited to fuck over Michael Douglas.
Well, that's one of the notes I made. I was like, this movie exists in a world in which just people at a tech company are so gleefully engaged in like nefarious activities to destroy a single person as if he's wronged them.
And
like Dylan Baker is essentially like twirling a mustache throughout, like, he's such an idiot. Yeah. He has no idea.
And he's only shown us at that point to be the nicest of all people. Like, he's helping out. He's got a hamper full of balls in his office that he likes to, you know, play with his basketball. I thought that was such a funny, weird
thing. Oh, I didn't see that.
He has a hamper of balls. Like, it's like basketball, football. And at one point, he's just like, has a basketball. Like, just tosses it in the side.
Well, but the office door stays open.
Oh, yeah.
And his secretary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cindy, right?
Are you
Cindy.
A friend?
Yeah.
Are you a friend?
Well, and it's like she's, it's always so funny in movies where it's like, do you want the door open or closed? He's like, I always leave it open. She's like, you always leave it open. And you're like,
that door's going to close someday.
Back. Yeah, yeah.
And she also is like they have a thing where she's very concerned about him when he is going through his trauma. Like, she's like, are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. And then yet she testifies against him, which is
they set that up as well when he pats her on the butt with the files in the beginning. They really show you that, like, they make sure that lands, so that's when that comes back later.
And then she does it at the end.
Yeah.
It shows that everyone's learned.
Everyone is doing it. Also, she kind of apologizes at the very end. She apologizes at the very end for...
Which we have in...
I didn't quite understand what she's apologizing for, but it feels bad.
Right. Well, it's like she's apologizing for, like, saying out loud that he, like, sexually harassed her.
She's like, I'm so sorry that I told the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a fucking mixed message movie because she's like, I'm apologizing for testifying against you because you actually are a good guy. And now the thing that you did to me, I'm gonna do to you, and
playfully, though.
Playfully, which he did to her playfully, like, not lasciviously. So, and not that I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, I'm just saying, but like,
No one's learned anything in this interaction. This has been...
No, I feel like they set up the idea that, in the office, like, look, Michael Douglas isn't perfect. Like, I feel like they were like, we covered our bases.
He's still a guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a
We've covered our bases, right? So, like, we're not just saying Demi Moore sexually harass him and Michael Douglas is an angel. He likes to play around a little bit, but it's all in good fun. It's nothing bad.
Well, keep in mind this. You know, this is 1994. This is before...
Joe Biden got plugged.
This is before. I mean, it's 2019. Remember, like, this looks antiquated because we have figured out sexual harassment so clearly.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is like no from another time.
Yeah, there's no problems.
And everything. This is, I mean, this looks antiquated.
Yeah, no, we've solved all of this.
There's I feel like nobody talks about it anymore. These days, you're not really sort of hearing about it at all.
I know. It's like not in the news. I went away. I feel like this, like, I can't believe that this isn't the biggest movie in the alt-right world.
The spirit is identical. It's so weird. So the way, the defensiveness that he has, the persecution that he goes through from the guy on the ferry from the very beginning. It's like a world.
Yes.
Everyone is against him.
Yes.
And it feels so much like right now.
It is. The guy on the ferry, which the guy on the ferry, we have a puppet scene in Disclosure of the Musical. Briefly, you'll see like a weird puppet version of the ominous man on the ferry. And we have the blowjob scene. We have like an experimental dance blowjob scene, which you see very briefly. But the guy on the ferry is like, these women are taking our jobs.
Yes.
And it's like, it's like 25 years later, it's still this feeling. It's the same sentiment, right?
And, and you're supposed to think, I think at the beginning, that that guy's like over the top on the ferry. But then the way the movie plays out, you're like, no, I think that's what Michael Douglas feels he experienced.
Michael Douglas looks at him at the end of the movie almost to say, like, were you right
whole
time? Yeah,
exactly. Like you were.
Are you like the blind seer?
Yeah.
Are you like, what's the Greek blind seer? Tiberius? That's not right. But like, that's a crazy idea.
Well, he says to him, he goes, you used to have fun with the girls. Now they want your job.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the most damning thing he can say. Like, well, why can't we just, like, why don't these girls just want to fuck us anymore? Now they want to work and vote and get out there.
It really has been a real rough 15 years for straight white dudes. Like, a real straight decline. They're
feeling it. Put this in some sort of context, too. This is 4 years before the Clinton Lewinsky stuff even comes out, too. So it's like, we're like, it is interesting in the sense that it was ahead of its time.
Well, that's what I bet. Like, when all the Clinton Lewinsky stuff comes out and it's like, well, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, which is like, you know, it's like he didn't have sex with her, but she clearly blew him. He definitely put a cigar inside of her. And what an amazing guy to be the president of the United States in his mid-50s to do that to a 21-year-old
girl. What a
great guy.
But also to talk about that, like just recently watching that Monica Lewinsky doc, you realize like, oh, I saw this totally wrong. The way the media kind of put it in your head as a kid, like, you're like, oh, yeah, like, you under, like, no, his personal life is his personal life. Like,
right.
No,
you're right. The lame stream media.
Jason's changed a lot, too, just like Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of different changes.
The lame stream media will have you believe.
But it is, I bet when the Clinton Lewinsky stuff came out, I guarantee, like, Crichton and all those guys were like, we saw it. Yeah. We knew it.
We saw,
like, this is all also, these women taking down these good men.
In this movie, you've got him say a line, which is,
I can tell you right now. I mean, is it sexual harassment is about power?
Yes.
When did I ever have the power?
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's not the line, but that line is, they say it like four times in the movie.
Well, here's the thing. Let's get into this scene, the sexual harassment scene. So it starts off with the arm rubbing or the back rub. The door is locked. And then the attack. This is the most, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but the most mixed message sexual harassment scene either because.
Meredith.
No.
No.
But I know. Then, I know, like, Shia LaBeouf watching was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But then the angles, like that blowjob. I mean, first of all, that's another hilarious thing, I guess, in my mind that, like, for this, like, this woman, like. Like, she wants to get off by giving him a blowjob. Like, oh, I just want to get your cock in my mouth. Like, that gets me off. Like, but, like, so she's, like, so you have this angle, like, on her face, in his crotch, in those very pleated pants. And, you know, he's like, no. And then
he kind of lifts her off. He's like, okay, you want to get fucked?
Yeah.
I'll fuck you.
Yeah.
And then they just
start fucking.
Fucking.
No, they almost fuck.
Okay, they almost
rips.
Yeah.
There's
he rips,
very important rip. Of yes.
He rips
yeah.
her. Rips. He rips her, and I think that's in one of those things where Michael's like, "I've got an idea. I've got one idea, Barry. Before we roll on this, I thought maybe we'd try this." So he rips the underwear off, and then he's.
You know, there was a couple of times he tried to, and it didn't work. And he's like, "Can somebody score the underwear?
Please score so
it'll rip. It'll
please.
Rip easier."
Well, here is a little bit of the sex scene.
It's another dull day in the computer business. Mm-hmm.
No. Let me be the boss.
She uses a lot of business language.
Oh, you got it.
No, I...
She's like, the synergy between our bodies has never been...
I want to download you. Yeah. Let's ideate.
No.
All right, so now he's in the middle of getting it.
You want to get fucked, huh?
Come on, do
is that what you want? You want to get fucked?
You're turning everybody on, Paul.
Is that what you want?
I love when she puts her fingers in his mouth.
But he says, do you want to get fucked? And then he gets all the power, or in this moment, he is the aggressor, which I think is a funny, weird mix to be like, okay. So he's got to also show he's not really being sexually assaulted because he then has
I believe that, like, what they thought they were doing was being like, she's pushing him, and then he's still a fucking dog. You know what I mean?
He's got to do it. Now he's a man. He got to do it.
And it is part of his character that he is like a womanizing man, like a man with a past of like sexual prowess or whatever.
But it's like he's a sexual prowess guy. But like you see him at home and you see him with his family, and in general, he's like so kind of like such a family man. And
well, that's
such
what to me more is kind of chipping away at. She basically, he arrives and the first thing she does is be like, show me pictures of your family, who she then proceeds to neg fully.
She
negs his daughter. He says, but look at this, a picture of my daughter, isn't she beautiful? She goes, she looks like your wife.
Who
like,
needs to lose weight?
She said, yeah, yes. She goes, she never lost, and then Michael Douglas goes, she never lost the baby weight from the first baby. He throws that out there.
Like, and
by the way, that actress, what? She's quite slender.
Also, like, how can you tell she's wearing the blousiest of clothing?
But that's a crazy thing to say, like, to anyone. Like, yeah, my wife never lost that baby weight. Like,
it's almost like apologizing for it. Like, yeah, no, you caught that. I'm sorry.
And you know what? To say that to someone who's an ex-girlfriend of yours is an invitation.
Yes.
To say that to an ex is basically to say, I'm not happy with
this
my wife.
This is why
wife.
It's confusing. He gave her a mixed message.
But I think that's what they think they were doing. They were like, see, there is gray.
Yes. I think that's what it is. Yes. That they're saying, like, if we really took a snapshot of what sexual harassment is, it's just a lot of gray. It's as much the women as it is the men.
Yeah, exactly.
And by putting a man in that role, they can say, like, that's why they do that thing on the ass slap at the end. It's like, guys, what is it? I mean, it really, what is, like, where is it for you? It's not like, it's a very mixed message.
There's also something in that exchange where Demi Moore says, it looks like your wife keeps your refrigerator full of food.
Yeah.
That's like another comment. And that's why he thinks that she's saying that she's fat because of food. Yeah. But I don't even get what refrigerator
she's
full
like,
of food.
I think like, she's saying like she seems like a good
domestic,
provider. Yes.
Oh, like
good,
she's
like a
dummy at home or something like okay.
You know, like, and
even though she's a lawyer and she's got a bed full of papers.
She's quite accomplished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a bed.
She's always
doing
work.
That's such a 90s thing of like, I'm working at home, so my bed is covered in
papers.
By
the way, that is a June Diane Raphael specialty.
Really?
June makes the bed a full-blown office.
Yeah,
it is. Like, there are books. I when I try to get into bed.
You know what you should get her? The corridor. So that she's just in a virtual office bed. She just puts on virtual office. Imagine walking into your bedroom and June
but
is just
is
reaching out.
There is something about June that is like a little 90s working woman.
I mean, by the way, I think that she is somebody who grew up on Baby Boom and she's like, I want to live this life.
She's also playing Let the River Run while she does it.
Let the river run. Carly Simon sings in our room every night. But
you guys have changed.
June does say that she considers...
It used to be Carly Rae Jepsen.
The office. Like she does, like
she considers her bed the office.
She likes to, she's very open about loving to get into bed at early times and be like, let's figure this out.
Get to work.
I literally, when I come to bed, I'm like, I'm moving books and files and things.
You're probably one of the only people that wakes up with paper cuts.
But so he is
shout out to June.
June, who said when she's in New York right now doing press for her book, her great book, that she's like, I'm so bummed I'm not here for this episode. She's like, this is my favorite movie. She was watching me watch it on the plane yesterday, and she's like, oh, wish I could talk about this movie. She also gave me a warning. She's like, you be careful in there tomorrow. She's like, you guys are in a minefield.
Well, it is. But it, again, like Michael Douglas, it's everyone's in a minefield. And like, I think like how it's just this movie to me is so in a weird way, it is very prophetic about how all of this would eventually go down. It only took 25 years for us to be like, watch how, for like white men to be like, watch how, and all men, how women are going to weaponize sexual harassment against men.
And and what I think is so interesting is the movie is also a revenge film. Like, because once he's been wrong, he's like, now I'm going to fucking wreck your life.
Yes. The scene where he confronts her, because it goes beyond, he wants to humiliate her.
Yes.
He's too like tricky where he's like, Meredith, I'm just curious. I thought you were in charge of that. And then everyone starts to laugh at her.
Yeah.
And there's too much emotion behind it. He needs it too much.
And they never really do that to him. Everything that he's doing is very segmented. The only people that are probably laughing at him is the guy who accidentally got the message on his answering machine of the hardcore sex scene.
Like, who was that?
Fucking random. Because he was auto type on his phone, made him call the wrong guy.
That wasn't someone we knew, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I thought it was going to be the guy from the fucking boat. Like, at least
that's
tie
what
it
I
together.
Thought it was. No. That was confusing.
Yes.
I also think that in this, like, it's like the speeches and the reveal, there's at least two times when Demi Moore cannot help herself but reveal like what a fucking
she does like a couple of different you can't handle the truths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where it's like when if you push me, guess what? I won't back down.
Do you want to hear
go ahead.
Yeah. Wanna hear her big this is her big seat.
Lock the door. You demanded service and then you got angry when he didn't provide it. So you decided to get even. To get rid of him with this trumped up charge. Ms. Johnson, the only thing you have proven is that a woman in power can be every bit as abusive as a man.
Thesis statement for the film.
Yeah.
You want to put me on trial here? Let's at least be honest about what it's for. I am a sexually aggressive woman. I like it. Tom knew it and you can't handle it. It is the same damn thing since the beginning of time. Veil it, hide it, lock it up, and throw away the key. We expect a woman to do a man's job, make a man's money, and then walk around with a parasol and lie down for a man to fuck her like it was still 100 years ago. Well, no thank you.
By the way, that speech is so A Few Good Men. And she's in A Few Good Men just 2 years before.
Yeah.
I kind of like that speech. There's something about it that's like very pleasing to me.
I think
the content is wrong, but I like the way
I think she's good in this movie. Yeah. I think she's like really good.
I think there's a bunch of good performances in this movie, which make it even more insane.
Yeah. Because it's not schlocky.
It's not campy. It's not over the top performance-wise. You know, people are finding a way to compellingly deliver insane lines like that.
Well, but I will say this. What Michael Douglas and Demi Moore are both doing a lot of is lower lip work. Michael Douglas's lower lip is and out. I don't know if it's always like that, but it's like really jutted out. And I feel like Demi Moore is also doing a lot of lower lip work in this movie.
They both worked with the same acting coach.
It's like the top part of their face lower lips. Is different than the bottom part. It really does feel like their top part is almost frozen. Like Michael Caine has that thing like never blink when they're on camera.
Right.
And I feel like they're like never move a muscle in the top part of your face. Only the bottom lip.
This is probably in like a pre-Botox-y world. Sure. Right.
Sure.
But Michael Douglas's lower lip but there are some good speeches in here, or they're like, and it is this weird thing where it's like, they're trying to bring up the idea that, like, how can a woman should be able to do whatever. We talk a lot in the there's a, about a, what is it, a kind of an aggressive woman likes to be on top is one of our songs. And but I do think it is a lot about an aggressive woman likes to be on top, and they want to talk to it, but then they're also like, but an aggressive woman can't control herself and, like, loses her shit, which is what Demi Moore does time and time again. It's like, yes, she's powerful. Yes, she's aggressive, but she also has no control over her emotions. So she is going to let loose and say things she shouldn't say multiple times.
But, you know, it's interesting because at certain points you are on her side. You are on his side. Like, you see it clearly. And I think, I mean, and again, this whole idea of the gray, I think it comes out in this where you leave just going like, I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. you can really find she doesn't seem like a villain necessarily at the end. I mean, the most villainous act she does is sabotage the plant.
Right.
Right. I mean,
for clean profit, cut. For profit, you know, in the company that it seems to me.
Right.
Perhaps might have been done at the behest of Donald Sutherland. I'm not sure. I don't think she's out there acting as a malicious agent alone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think she's trying to game the system for her own gain or anything like that. I think she is a company. I think she's part of a company that itself is like participating in misrepresenting itself in order to overvaluate their merger price. You know, I don't think she's like trying to be set up as like, oh, she's like working alone as the bad guy. I think they're all bad. I think Sutherland is bad. I think Dylan Baker is bad. I think their whole team seems to be like a cabal of evildoers.
And Dylan Baker also in the mediation, everybody kind of in and out of the mediation in the middle of the day. Like, I got to go back to work.
Yeah,
I, you know, I
they're
mean,
doing it in the middle of the day. They're going to it. Like they're going to a different location. Like,
they're going to another
show, yeah.
Another glass office conference room. Like, let's go to that other glass conference room.
Yeah, because I thought it was in their thing, and then they had to go back to work to then go back to the mediation. Although, I do like when he wins the mediation at the end, they needed to connect him and his lawyer, and I love his lawyer, Roma Mafia. Yes. Like, she's Catherine Alvarez. Like, they win, and they're like, they don't hug. They just do this like awkward up top high five. They're like, yeah,
yeah, we did it.
It's such a weird thing. Not a handshake. It's like, yeah.
And then he goes back, and it's like, wait, have the papers gone through? They're still like, this is all part of their plot to screw me. Because it's so convoluted.
Yeah, well, because now, you know, now they couldn't get him on this sexual harassment thing, so now they need to scapegoat him for the plant's flaws, again, to make them look good to the people who are going to buy them. The guy from Texas or
John
whatever.
Connolly, John Connolly Jr.
Well, no, then the father comes
at
the end of the movie.
When they're all so excited to check out the VR setup in his hotel room, which, by the way, the other thing that I love, because it makes no sense, is it's like a bouncy mat, like an exercise bouncy mat that has like balls on it. But like they're walking around so fluidly.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're going to walk right off that fucking bouncy mat. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, a normal human being's, like, feet would almost be touching the ends of the bouncy mat at regular.
It's like a personal trampoline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is what it looks like he's standing on, but then he's walking full stride through the corridor.
But then there's also that moment where he almost, like, falls off a cliff of the building.
Why did they build the corridor to have edges, like large, like it's as if the stairs at Hogwarts that are moving around is part of it, and you can't quite be certain that when you step next, it won't be just an abyss.
By the way, are you a Harry Potter?
I'm not. I've never.
I'm not either. But it does feel like
me neither.
Yeah, you don't like the Harry Potter movies,
never
right,
heard
Jason?
Of it.
Never heard of it.
Have you read any of the books?
I don't even know what it is.
Harry who?
Are you saying Harry Potter?
I
know about parrying Hutter.
But the virtual like storage room, file cabinet, library space, I feel like Harry Potter kind of stole the like movable.
Yeah,
that's
like,
probably right.
J.K. Rowling,
how
big fan of Crichton. You know, I love our friends at Squarespace. And why do I love our friends at Squarespace? Because they make web design easy. They have beautiful templates that you can quickly create into a site of your dreams. And you can use this site to showcase your work, your products, your restaurant. Are you a restaurant owner? Do you have a great chicken piccata that you want to sell? Well, then why don't you start a Squarespace website? Take a nice pick. I'm talking a good high mega pick, you know, mega picks of the chicken piccata, melty cheese, bread, toast. Put it up on a website. Squarespace is going to make sure that when you show that chicken piccata, it can work on a phone. It can work on an iPad. It can work on a computer screen. It all fits perfectly. Plus, if you want to sell that chicken piccata to anybody, they got e-commerce functionality. You can have analytics to see who's coming, who's seeing my chicken piccata. Anyway, everything's optimized. Like I said, buying domains is simple. You get the help you need with Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support, and they empower millions of people from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers and even restaurants and gyms to turn great ideas into something real, just like your delicious chicken piccata. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers using the offer code BONKERS. You know what? I'm going to throw this down. You know, if you create a cool enough website, I will advertise, subtly advertise your website on an ad for Squarespace so people can check it out and see what it's all about. People of Earth, guess what I just did today? I used Hotel Tonight. I did indeed. I'm staying in Long Beach tonight because of a very big roller skating scene on my hit Showtime show, Black Monday. And I needed to go in Long Beach, and I was like, well, let me see what I got going on Hotel Tonight. I found the location where I'm shooting. I saw the hotels around. One click, boom, 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 boom. And I got a great hotel. Bom, bom, bom. It's amazing. Awesome hotels. I got an unsold room at a rate that I was like, what? Amazing. I got an incredible deal on, you know, this place that I'm going to feel really comfortable in, where I need to feel comfortable. I got a great gym, got a great view. And you know what? If I would have booked that on a normal site, it would have cost me boku bucks, people. All right. You can actually even now on Hotel Tonight book in advance, which is great. So if you're a planner or procrastinator, Hotel Tonight is perfect for you. Instead of scrolling through an endless list of hotels, they show you the best deals. And they actually even have this like little thing I like. It's like basic. Deluxe. It's cool. It like lets you know, like, what are you in the mood for? What do you want? Do you want to stay at a place that's, you know, basic? They got it. It's $79 a night in Long Beach. I could have stayed there. They also have rooms for like $150 a night. Then they have rooms that are even more. Anyway, I love it. They have this cool thing too called the Daily Drop feature. You can choose a major city and unlock an extra amazing deal just for you. You get one daily deal per person. And once unlocked, the offer only lasts 15 minutes. But guess what? If you don't book in that 15, the next day another daily deal comes. It's not available in all destinations, but some of their best deals are available via Daily Drop. Whether you're searching for tonight or a few weeks away, Daily Drop is an awesome way to save big on a great hotel. Visit HotelTonight.com or download the app to unlock a getaway today. All right, people, we are now going back to the show. Emily, so obviously in writing this episode, you saw this movie a lot. Are there any like little things that just jump out at you as being like, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but like even lines or moments that you're like, oh my God.
Well, Dennis Miller, we already started talking about Dennis Miller, but the jokes, the way that Nick was describing it, sort of the way that a drama writer writes comedy, right. Every single, I get the spirit of it, that he's supposed to be like a little bit nasty.
Yeah.
But everything is just like a click off and gross. The way he describes, he's like nipples like pencil erasers.
Yeah.
And everyone in the room is like, yeah, pencil erasers.
In case you make a mistake.
Say, ooh, you're going to use her boobs to erase your
crossword puzzle. But now you're going to put it
and
in pen.
Please. They might have looked like pencil erasers because this is like 94 Demi Moore boob job.
Yes.
Pre-boob job. Because striptease was when she revealed them. That was
but
the big.
This has to have been boob jobs. They look insane.
Maybe I don't know how this all works, but I think her bra You see, her bra is very figure. Like it, I feel, yes, like, I feel like there may be a lot of work there to be like. Bam,
it's a demi,
bam.
A demi cup bra. That's what that's called, and it lifts. Yes. So.
Well, I read. And you might get into this in the like. I read the. I googled like reviews of the movie to be like, how was this movie received? And I know, Paul, you might.
A couple, but Google, go ahead.
Well, please. The first line of the Roger Ebert review. Do you have that?
I do. It's like, sorry. You tell me if you have it.
It's like basically the first line is like, the Wonder Bra does amazing things for Demi Moore's cleavage, but this movie is a little bit lost in its delivery. Oh, and God. You're like, why cool. did the like Roger he, Ebert look like said my grandma?
He also said basically a launch pad for sex scenes, but it's
just
not.
One.
It's
There's
one.
Just one.
He doesn't even have sex with his wife, which no. I think would have been. Interesting too, like just to show, like
right,
I mean,
like he's a horny guy, likes
yeah.
sex,
yeah,
sex,
like to,
I know
to show that there was some, I don't know, some even well, chemistry wonder, there between them. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I wonder if they were trying to make the point that like he used to be this like real playboy, but now he's been domesticated, mm-hmm. and Demi Moore is opening the door to wildness again.
That's what she says to
yeah,
him.
And, yeah, and that it's almost like his home life has to be sexless. In right. order for the other side of it to seem attractive, but like the more the that's like,
but I think that
shouldn't
sort of,
be
I,
that I, like the it shouldn't have that much of a spread almost.
I like, think that's part of the movie though is like this guy used to be a playboy and now he got married and like he's a work
suck?
A day guy and he's been beaten down yeah. and doesn't it suck? And like, you know, what's he supposed to do when this hottie tries to blow him?
Yeah, you get passed over by a promotion for it's like the guy on the boat. Yeah. They might as well have the guy on the boat narrate the movie.
I know.
Well, obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. Now it's time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? I need a second opinion.
Thank you, John LaJoie, for that amazing song, as always. Well, get ready, people, because if you thought the movie had some problematic issues, these reviews go there.
Oh, boy.
These are 5-star reviews, culled from Amazon. An average rating of this movie, 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
237 total reviews, 65% are 5-star reviews.
Holy shit.
And let's see, Maria writes, a very interesting and realistic movie that brought us sexual harassment in the workplace and showed us how, as women become CEOs, VPs, and directors of corporations, they start to show some of the same characteristics shown by men in the workplace. Women can be just as aggressive and focused on seeking sex with men that they work with. I think this movie shows a very realistic, true-to-life story that happens every day in corporate America. Mm-hmm. 5 stars. Excellent.
Yeah.
That is kind of the tenor of many of this. And then this one I really like because it's a little bit different from Paulo Roberto Elias. He writes, disclosure is a suspenseful corporate intrigue drama, showing us what goes on behind closed doors in many places. It has an appealing interface to an audience by showing how products can be made flawed by careless manufacturing. 5 stars.
Wow.
I love that guy's
That name. Guy's the movie that guy watched was very different.
I really like that.
I happen to work in CD-ROM manufacturing.
Joni writes, love this movie. Watched it over 20 times.
What?
We'll watch it again now.
What?
5 stars.
Chachi writes, not a fan.
Can you imagine being like, this is my favorite movie.
20 times watching this movie?
You know that movie when you meet someone and you're starting to kind of fall in love? You're like, oh, do we have the same taste in movies? Like, I want to show you this.
Favorite movie on three. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Disclosure.
Oh, let's spend our lives together.
This one is written by Paula Pumpkin. Did not care for the sex part, but overall the movie's very good and held your interest till the end. 5 stars.
Paula.
This one is written like this. Great movie. It shows just how far some women will go to get what they want in the workplace. What? This is not just a movie. It happens every day in the workplace. If you're charged with sexual harassment
It is a nightmare. When this became a workplace issue, my wife asked me if I knew the definition of sexual harassment, and I said no. And her response was, well, you know what it is? Anything you want it to be. Oh, so I'm glad that I retired 6 years ago. Five stars.
Wait, meaning this guy was like constantly sexually harassing women.
I quit that day. Yeah. He told me that and I was done.
And but truly, it was like, my wife and I know that I sexually harass women constantly.
My wife gets it. I'm a piece of shit. Yeah.
So those are some of the reviews. Some interesting side facts. I did tell you the movie made 83 here. It made 213 million worldwide.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, that's giant. The tagline was sex is power. And it was not written, I mean, the novel is written by Michael Crichton, but the screenplay was written by the same guy, Paul Anastasio, who wrote Donnie Brasco and Quiz Show.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is interesting. And then if you do have a kink of watching Donald Sutherland turn into a vampire, then you definitely need to watch this movie because that is a scene we didn't really talk about, but is one of the best scenes. Michael Douglas has been traumatized.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets, and he has a nightmare where
he has a sexy dream about Donald Sutherland
coming onto him like a vampire. It's so bizarre that.
Wait, I don't think it's like a vampire, though. He doesn't have fangs or anything.
I guess.
He's trying to make out with him.
You're right. And I think I took it as like.
I
thought he was turning into a vampire.
No, he's trying to sexually assault him.
Oh, jeez, I'm an idiot.
I love that.
Because you know what? I looked at the way he was coming with his mouth.
They shot it weird. We don't have June here today.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is.
That may have been
that is a moment.
That is like a June moment where she's like, and he was a vampire.
I was wondering why no one got no.
I was like, what does Paul mean? I thought you were maybe referring to another Donald Sutherland role.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no, there is. Because in my mind, this guy, the merger goes through, the CD-ROM business takes off, and then everything happens, but then it becomes Pan Am, and it's the Hunger Games, and he's President Snow.
I'm just watching it again. They do it like a very tight perspective. It's like Michael Douglas's POV.
Yeah.
And then he goes, come on, Bob.
He comes in for a kiss, and it looks like he's going to suck his
blood. And his tongue is out like before. Like his tongue is making the first contact.
And you thought he was trying to bite his neck for blood.
Yeah, I thought he was having like a weird dream, like they're sucking me dry at this company. Yeah. I did not even pull it together. It's so bizarre that now he also feels like.
Well, that's the beauty of a movie like this. It's all up your interpretation.
It's open to interpret.
It's all valid. It's all valid.
Well, obviously, we normally ask, do you recommend this movie? But I think you need to watch this movie to enjoy it. But I think it will give another level of enjoyment.
I would say like this, the episode that is, I don't know what number it is in season 3, but it's later in the season. It's probably like episode 8 or 9 of season 3. Disclosure, the musical. The other part of that episode is the Queer Eye guys do the Queer Eye Coach Steve. It's like one of my favorite episodes of the show. Jay recommends Coach Steve. And anyway, the point is, I can't recommend this movie enough, just in general, but also specifically when you watch Big Mouth, the Disclosure episode, it will be that much more gratifying.
And Big Mouth comes out next week on Netflix. What's the actual day it drops?
October 4th it drops. So this is a great thing to do leading up to watching Big Mouth.
Yeah.
So that when the season comes out.
Watch it every day. Watch Disclosure once
a
day.
Watch this one out of order.
I would watch it in order. I would let the season, because there's some stuff that happens in the in the episode that are irrelevant to the season, and so I would wait to watch it until you hit it.
And who are the stars of the Disclosure musical? Or is that a secret?
It's not a secret. I mean,
Nick is. But maybe the other ones we can.
Yes,
keep
the other ones. Nick is. Yes, we'll leave the rest a secret. But Nick may be the star of the.
Are
musical.
You guys at
he
all?
He might have a Michael Douglas wig.
Nice.
The success of this show, like obviously the success of this show, Big Mouth, and this season especially, I think, is everybody's really highly anticipating it. Will this episode launch a musical Disclosure? Like, are you interested? Are you interested in mounting Disclosure the Musical, or are you going to let high schools across, or middle schools, I guess, across the country mount productions of Disclosure?
We got to talk to Samuel French about that.
Smart.
yeah, the book of this will be great.
It's going to be. And Mark Rivers wrote all the music for. He writes
how many
all the,
songs did really you guys good. Do? Yeah,
I mean,
you've got the power.
You've
now.
You've got the power now. Aggressive woman likes to be on top.
Interpretive blowjob ballet.
Yes. And there's one or two others. I can't remember.
There's like a long. Oh, there's a long montage.
The whole opening. It's finally happening. We waited so long. The opening number is like the opening number of. It's for the rehearsal or the tryouts for it. But it's a. There's at least three or four full numbers in the show.
I cannot wait.
It's crazy.
And I really do recommend. Like we talked about this movie being like 2 hours and 10 minutes, but it goes down smooth. It really is. I mean, like I a lot of the times I'm looking at like how much longer. I'm like, no, it tells a story well. I mean, it's confusing.
A lot of the movies we do are poorly made.
Yeah.
No, this is an impeccably constructed movie from the, you know, from great filmmakers, from smart, you know, like it is absolute trash, but you can, it is certainly constructed well. You're not, I wasn't confused.
Yeah.
I was confused about all of the tech stuff. Did you guys fully understand?
No, I mean, that stuff, I feel like, again, it's like they're just saying,
I think,
fill in the blank.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, we didn't even just mention like what emails look like.
Yes. I wrote it down. Like, one of the things I loved about this movie is it opens with the girl, his daughter, going, "Dad, you got a email."
Email.
And the emails are written like letters.
Yeah.
And she reads it aloud from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
The entire, yells it, I guess, to nobody in the house.
Yeah.
Almost everybody does that. Almost everybody reads their emails aloud as if like they need to comprehend it
He also has some great one-sided phone calls, by the way. Mm-hmm. She's doing some great one-sided phone call cell phone work.
I mean, that cell phone, I love like all the details. I mean, and it's.
Oh, and I love the guy on the boat who's like, "Remember when cell phones were huge?" And he was like, "Yeah, I was in Wall Street when they were huge. I was Gordon Gekko. Remember, I'm synonymous with those giant cell phones." Now, why at the end of the movie, blah 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 blah, everything happens. So they're in the car, and his Michael Douglas's daughter says, "Daddy, I didn't believe any of the stuff they said about you." Who told the daughter?
Email.
And why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why
did they tell?
What if the daughter was a friend?
Why?
Why did they tell
a 7-year-old what was going on? Oh, it wasn't in the papers.
No,
it wasn't.
I think what they're saying is like the kids are. I think
sponges.
What, yeah,
she
I think we're saying
home.
Like kids are pick. Oh, kids okay. See what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And just in a weird moment of life imitating art in 2003. Demi was sued for sexual harassment by her ranch caretaker. Mm. He claimed that she fired him after he rejected her advances. Ultimately, she was cleared of all charges.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I'm sure that rancher was like, this movie, like, you know, like, oh, yeah.
Where did I get this idea from? I feel like I...
the ranch hand. So, all right.
Can I promote one more thing?
Yeah, please.
I'm also going on a stand-up tour, middle-aged boy tour, this fall all over the country. So I'll be doing shows wherever these guys and June have been running through this wonderful nation. I'll be following up.
It's a great show. I've seen it. Go see it, everybody.
I'm very excited to see it. I've seen pieces of it, and it's very good. Where can they go get tickets for that?
Then go to nickkroll.com, middle-aged boy tour.
I love it. Emily, anything you want to talk about?
Just Big Mouth, very excited, October 4th.
I love it. All right.
I really, truly do. This season of Big Mouth, I'm very pleased with.
I'm very
There's
excited.
Some crazy episodes.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Emily. Big Mouth is coming back, season 3 on Netflix, October 4th. And if you have not picked up June's book, go and get it. It's called Represent, A Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. It is fantastic. Give it to a woman in your life who you think should run for office. Or if you are that woman, pick up the book and make sure you head on over to tpublic.com. We have amazing shirts, brand new shirts from the tour, from our last couple of episodes. A lot of them are on sale right now, so definitely check that out at tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. And a big thanks to Avril Haley, who helps us with all of our film choices. Nick Kiley, who does all of our research. Molly Reynolds, who just chipped in this week and took a lot of information and gave it to me right before the show. Devin, who of course is engineering this entire thing. Cody, one of our producers, and everybody here at Earwolf. We appreciate you. Make sure that we hear your voices next week on the mini episode. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK to hear what your thoughts about disclosure are or about your life. We want to hear from you on our mini episodes. And if you're still listening right now, and I hope you are, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It helps us. It really does. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Bye for now. Today's show is brought to you by Simply Safe. They make home security easy with no contract, no hidden fees, or fine print. Just for $15 a month, you'll get 24/7 professional monitoring throughout your home. And Simply Safe uses their revolutionary video verification technology to visually confirm that break-ins are happening, allowing police to get to you 3.5 times faster. Visit simplysafe.com/bonkers and you'll get a free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial. That's simplysafe.com/bonkers, simplysafe.com/bonkers. Y'all.